Peace. Welcome to another episode of Sex on Shuffle. I am your host, the succulent sexologist, Cindy Lee. Pronouns they and she. And this is the Sinners episode. Sinners just came out a few weeks ago. I've seen it twice. It is amazing. Kudos to you if you're able to go see it in theaters. If you're waiting for the streaming, don't worry. If you're pre-ordering the DVD, I'm with you. I want the DVD. If there's a coffee book or like a photo book with scenes or something with some commentary, I'm here for all of it. I want all those pieces. I keep talking about I want this to be, one of those movies where like you pass down to the other generations, like, you haven't seen this? Hold on, let me put you on. Because it was beautifully, masterfully done. There's so many things I can talk about that I want to talk about, and I probably will find a way to talk about it with someone or somewhere. So please, if this is this sounds like an invitation to you, then yes, please invite me. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the sex and sexuality that I saw, some of the messages that showed up, as always. Incorporating my expertise around sex, sexuality, liberation, and justice work in discussing this latest Ryan Coogler magic. Thanks to all the cast, to Michael B. Jordan playing two people, to the beautiful and exquisitely talented Wunmi Mosaku. There's so many amazing folks in here. The legend, Delroy Lindo, Omar Benson Miller. I am walking around the house randomly screaming, cornbread. And for folks who saw it, then you understand. This is a good invitation. I'll put it in the podcast notes, but I also want to mention that there will be spoilers because I am talking about different pieces of the film. Please go watch the film if you are down to watch it. Come back, have a listen, see what you got out of it. If you don't care about spoilers, then get comfy, stay ready, and let's talk a little bit about what I saw in the film. Like I said, I keep catching myself because there's so many things I want to talk about within the film. Who is really considered the center in this piece? And I'll slide that to the left, but I'm gonna try to stay focused on the things that were like overtly tied to sex and sexuality, although sexuality is connected to a whole bunch of things. But you see how I get into tangents. And I want to honor the tangents that show up with the points that I'm going to make. As you've seen, if you're a longtime listener for Sex on Shuffle, we know that teachable moments aren't just in the classroom. And I think Sinners has a good example of that when we talk about Sammy getting some sex education on the ride. First off, similar to Sex on Shuffle and the ways that we have teachable moments. Within these podcast episodes, similar to the way that I do my work as a sexologist, a sexuality educator, and a coach, is that teachable moments aren't just in the classroom. And in this instance, we're talking about like sexuality education, pleasure education. Again, the classroom ain't the only space. And quiet is kept very often. We're kind of not allowed to do that work in that space. Anyway, but that's for another episode and another time. And one example I see within the film is Sammy and Stack having a one-to-one conversation on the ride to what was their next move? I think that's when they went to the train station to link up or first get introduced to Delta Slim, which is Delroy Lindo. In that conversation, you come into the scene with them like in the midst of the conversation. Stack, who is Sammy's cousin, Stack is being played by Michael B. Jordan. Sammy is being played by Miles Keaton, if I'm saying it correctly. And we come into the scene and they're having a conversation. I don't even know if I really fully peeped the first time I saw it because I saw it twice. But Stack is giving free game to his cousin around oral sex techniques, right? Trying to tell him what it looks like to find the bean, how to explain, how to equate it to eating ice cream off a particular spot. To me, that gives like similar to what I talked about on my TikTok around like the places that we wisdom share. And so often, at least in my experience, I'm learning things from my elders, from community, and very often through different ways that we have access to each other. And that is in vehicles and transportation. So, in thinking and reflecting back, what are some things that you've learned on car rides, train rides, subway rides, walks with folks who you consider to be those that share wisdom, that give you free game around anything, but in this case, sexuality. Another point is that knowledge and learning and retaining knowledge and reading things is one thing, and I think it's beautiful. I love learning. That is my jam. I'm a lifelong learner. And because it's always both and up in here, application is another. Putting it into action is another. And we see that when we are well into the movie, Club Juke is popping. Sammy has invited Pearlene, who is Jamie Lawson, who he had already met at the train station, who's married, but that's again another conversation that we'll have. And they finally get some quiet time, some alone time in some storage room. And, you know, they're able to get a little bit more physical and share with each other the ways we want, they want to be sensual with one another, right? So, it's a scene, they're making out, and it ends up getting to Sammy requesting to do the honors of going down on Pearlene. So, putting his oral sex free game from the car ride into practice. And what does it look like to utilize it? I don't know if he learned other pieces. I don't know if he had a natural talent, but I wanted to bring it up because it also shows what it looks like to put things into practice, what it looks like to heed and listen to some of the free game. And that's not to say that all free game is good game, but anyway, he's able to put it into practice. He's able to put it into practice in a way that, from the viewer or from the audience, it is successful, pleasurable, and centering the pleasure of the woman, which in my experience isn't usually centered in those ways. So I love to see that. I can't say that Sammy had known that he would have the opportunity to apply what he just learned from Stack, but he did. And it's a reminder also that sex is a skill for those who are curious to learn more. You know, at least in my experience, we're taught that if we're even taught about sex and sexuality, we're taught like we're supposed to know those things. As soon as we become an adult or as soon as we are able to be sexual in whatever ways those mean, because I know that means a lot, different things to different people. It's like understood that we're just supposed to know, and if we don't know, then we're just bad at it, right? It's just another way for shame and guilt to show up and kind of have us think that we are less than, right? So to me, it's a nice example that sexual behavior is a skill. It's something that can be learned and it's something that can be put in practice. So he was able to have his rendezvous, right? His sexcapade in this side storage room with Pearlene. So my next point is a reminder that for folks who have vulvas, vaginas, your pieces, or anyone in general, probably. But I feel like for the purpose of this example, it's for folks who have vulvas and vaginas. Your juices are a commodity, okay? Your juices are sought after. I appreciated this piece because It kind of flows into the last thing we talked about when they get into the storage room and he is clearly asking for to be able to go down on Pearlene. Pearlene was like, hold on, hold on, hold on. I walked all the way over here, right? Like, I need to freshen up. And Sammy was like, I hear you, but I just want to taste you. Chef's kiss. And I was like, oh. Okay, all right, Sammy. That was you. That was all you. That wasn't, I didn't see Stack teach you any of that. That was all you. This is also a beautiful example of nonverbal communication in terms of consent, because you see her, at least from my angle, even though she didn't explicitly say, okay, let's do this, she her body language was on the From what I saw, her body language was saying, yes, I'm down, right? That she laid down, like she arched herself in a particular way. She allowed for her dress to be lifted up, and she like surrendered to the belief that somebody, right, Sammy in particular, doesn't care about how far you walk to get here. They want your pleasure. They want to be able to taste you. And again, your juices are the hot commodity up in this piece. Your pleasure is being centered in this piece. And yes, there's a lot of nuance around nonverbal communication, but for the purpose of this example, and in Hollywood fantasy, I appreciated that they showed that without, to me, it didn't look gray. At first, I was like, hold on. She said, she was like, wait, but then you do notice that she is consenting and enjoying, at least from what I see, the experience. So I thought that was a beautiful thing, particularly for folks with vulvas and vaginas, because so often there is a history of shame around our pieces, our crotches specifically, even though they are always sought after, it's always also looked at in a negative way. There are plenty of instances that I've either had students or folks that I've been working with, clients that have experienced and internalized shame around the body parts that they have and whether or not they are inherently dirty or inherently unclean, negative. Pick the language, pick the word usage for it. And I could tie it to another example of the beautiful scene with Smoke, also Michael B. Jordan, and Annie. And the sex scene that happened there, I didn't see any concern around how hot it was, where they were, how long of a day they've had. From what I saw the intimacy, right? The emotional closeness. I saw the desire, right? Like his desire. And her acknowledgement of how sexy and desirable she is, I didn't see no concern about whether or not we've been marinating in our own magnificence. So, Pearlene, I'm here for you. I'm here for your pleasure. Apparently, so is Sammy. So yay, and don't act like I ain't peeped Pearlene's name. It was giving very much old school Zayn with the black pearl. So my next point kind of goes into what we're talking about right now, which is that words can be sexy. So for folks who are either anxious or feel like they're not good at or not experts or not skilled at erotic talk, sexy talk, dirty talk, however you want to name it. I feel like Sinners had a couple of good examples of how that kind of talk or using language and words to elicit some pleasurable, erotic, sexual, sensual experiences can show up. Even if it's layered, right? Because, for example, when we talk about Mary had a couple of instances of some dirty talk, but it was in a manipulative way because she was already turned and she was trying to make stuff happen and eventually get her needs met in the form of like satiating that hunger and not necessarily having
a sexual hunger, although I think that was satiated too. If that was a both and, I don't know. I don't want to ask Mary. And maybe we can ask the actors. I would love to have access to interview folks in the future. So let's put that out there. But the two examples that show up for me were Mary when she goes up to smoke in the juke joint, in Club Juke, and says, "Oh, so you rob trains and banks, but you can't steal this pussy for a night?" If that's how you speak to one another, that is an ex beautiful example of how to get somebody. That could turn somebody on, right? Or that little playfulness can do something to somebody, right? That might float their boat, tickle their pickle. Another one was when they were already in that same kind of storage place and they were about to, I feel like this was before like their sex scene or the before they switched scenes. They were making out and getting into it hot and heavy. And I'm talking about Mary and Stack. And Stack peeped that Mary was drooling. So he was like, "Oh, you're drooling." And she was like, "You want some?" And proceeded to drool and share the wealth and let the drool go into Stack's mouth. Again, I'm not here to yuck anybody's yum. There are folks who are into that. Shout out to Jet Setting Jasmine, because when I saw that, I immediately thought of her and King Noir and Royal Fetish. But that's a side note. So again, that's another way we can play with language and words and consent to make things sexy. Although side note, there was like two, maybe two or three instances of drool in this film. And I'm very curious with the rationale of what did they do to make the drool, or because it's not giving real drool to me, at least the part when they're on the face, because I feel like who else? Remick also had drool at some point in time too. I wasn't a fan of the drool on the face. It looked a little more viscous than need be. It didn't look very drooly to me. It looked a little mucosal, phlegmy. I don't know. It was a little thick to me. I don't know. Maybe they needed to drink more water, or if that's what drool looks like post getting turned into a vampire. I'd love more information. I don't know if I'm gonna get more information around that, but that is how I'm feeling about the spit. However, drool in general, spitting and things like that, if you're into that, I'm here for it. You like it, I love it. I just want to know in terms of like Hollywood magic, what was that? All right. So anyway, and the last one I mentioned, which is not in any kind of order in terms of the film, but it did something to my spirit, is in the lovemaking scene, the sex scene, the pleasure scene between Annie and Smoke. And the way that she commanded the space with her presence, with her beauty, she's so gorgeous. But she like has this air with her, and then she goes to him and says, "Your body didn't forget me." And like I said, that did something to my spirit. Thank you. Thank you to both of you for that. A few ways to show how we can incorporate language, how that can be part of our pleasure and our sex play. And it can look different in different ways. And let me know if you're interested in me talking more about that. I'm happy to do that in another episode. And last but not least, I just want to shout out the support staff, like the staff in charge. I appreciated that at the end I saw like all types of folks in the credits. And also as a side note, shout out to Melanie Moves, who also highlighted that although there were mad people Even like the folks that were providing folks with nourishment and meals were highlighted. I appreciate that Melanie highlighted that the dancers were not included. And I don't know if it was because of her highlighting this or not, it doesn't matter. But what I did read is that it is being rectified and that it was an error in like post-production. So they are gonna fix that and include the dancers because one of the most pivotal scenes in the movie is mind altering, is a moment where Club Juke really got it popping and people were dancing. And there was this imagery of how music connects to us across timelines and across ancestral planes, past, present, and future. Music, Black music in particular, gets woven in. But you also see how it is a global thing, and it's beautiful to witness different types of ancestries, different type of cultural dances and their significance while folks are having a time at Club Juke, right? Being really present and connected to the music and seeing what it does even physically to folks as audience members, because I felt that it was a spiritual, powerful moment in the film. Okay, back. See, told you. I got tangents, but I'm back. But again, I want to shout out the support staff, all the folks that were mentioned, the dancers that are going to get added in, which I'm super grateful for because that was such a necessary part of the film, at least to me. But I also want to shout out intimacy coordinators. I've done it before when we talked about Bridgerton, and I hope folks are like noticing and paying attention to like the shifts, at least that what I've seen in terms of sex scenes, nude scenes, these scenes that are part of film and TV. I looked up the intimacy coordinators were Crystal Ferdinand and Amanda Peek. I'd love to be able to talk to both of you, one of you, any of you, to talk a little bit about what it was like to do that work for this film in particular and about the intimacy coordination as a whole. I know a few of my friends that are intimacy coordinators myself. I also noticed that they had an emotional wellness coordinator. I think about that so much, especially when we're talking about things that are touching on historical pieces, traumatic events, even in the trauma that I can imagine around being an actor within certain parts of TV and film that can be triggering and traumatic. I think about like Lovecraft Country and the things that we heard around the production of that. So the emotional wellness coordinator was Kim Lee White. I also wanted to highlight the cultural significance. There were a lot of pieces within, you know, yes, it's a horror movie. Yes, it's about vampires, but it's set in the 1930s in Mississippi, in the Delta, and the things that are connected to that and relevant. So we see, you know, the Asian population within that time frame, and then we can connect that, right? So back with the staff, particularly, they had, you know, Ryan Coogler worked closely with the Choctaw. We saw the Choctaw in a little bit when we were introduced to the vampire hunters, when we first were introduced to Remick. And when I looked at the credits, they credit Jaden Arianna Wesley to be the consultant for Mississippi Choctaw culture and language. So shout out. And also shout out to Dr. Yvonne Chiro, hopefully I am pronouncing your name correctly, who was the consultant for the hoodoo and the cultural significance that we saw in the practices or the symbolism around hoodoo and African traditional religions, particularly African American, particularly hoodoo. So shout out to these folks and all the many other folks that made this film what it was. It's so good. I know that I'm gonna see it a couple more times, and each time I'm gonna get another piece. And I now that I have recorded this podcast, I can now say that I can go and dig deep and enjoy some of the think pieces that I've been avoiding, even though I have seen some of the memes and some of the TikToks that I appreciate. There is beauty in the interwebs, even throughout or betwixt the fuck shit. I encourage you to go see the film if you are into what Sinners has to offer. And if not dive deep, I'm gonna put a couple of resources that are tied to some of the things that were mentioned and some of the things I think that were significant in the film. And yeah, please let me know what your thoughts were. Get in the comments or reach out to me on the interwebs. I am at Sex on Shuffle on Instagram. You can email the podcast at sexonshuffle@gmail.com. Or you can find me myself at the THEE Cindy Lee on most things. And I'd love to talk more about this film. There's so much goodness. Let me know what you thought. Let me know if you peeped some of the sexuality pieces that I mentioned. And take care. Have the day that you need. Shimmies.